Okay, so I introduce the next speaker. It's called Christine Reynolds, and the name of her talk today is "To Do Website Answer a Parent's Question About Anxiety Treatment Choices." She comes from Canada, University of Manitoba. Welcome.
All right, thank you. Good morning. So I'm Kristen Reynolds, and today I'm going to talk to you about some research that I've been doing in collaboration with Dr. John Walker from the University of Manitoba, Mark Leinhart, a student from the University of Manitoba, as well as the Mobilizing Minds Research Group across Canada. And our research looks at how well websites concerning child anxiety disorders answer questions that parents have about treatment choices. So this slide just displays members of our research team, and this includes students, professors, mental health practitioners, as well as members of community organizations across Canada. So in terms of disclosure, my advisor, Dr. John Walker, is involved with both the Anxiety Disorders Association of America and the Anxiety Disorders Association of Canada, but receives no income or support from these organizations. So looking at a brief epidemiology of anxiety disorders, they're the most common mental health problem among children, adults, and adolescents. And this project focuses specifically on child anxiety disorders, and anxiety poses significant distress for both children and parents. And part of the distress results from the complexity of information that parents face when looking at treatment decisions. So there's several things that parents have to consider, such as what kinds of treatments they're interested in, whether they're looking at psychosocial treatment, the different options that are available for them there, pharmacological treatment and the different medications that are available, as well as the effectiveness of each treatment in terms of side effects, advantages and disadvantages, and success rates. So there's lots of different things to consider, and it's an overwhelming choice for parents to make. So increasingly, as mentioned in other presentations, we're seeing an increase in parents going to the internet for this type of information. And this has both advantages and disadvantages. So as you can see, the cartoon reads, "Now I'm not a doctor, but I play one on the internet." And I think we can all relate to this type of self-diagnosis and typing in a Google search of our symptoms and finding just hundreds of different things and just really an overwhelming experience, and our symptoms might be exacerbated by the end of our search. So that's what we're seeing in terms of parents looking to the internet for information. So the present study that I'm going to talk about today builds on some research that's being conducted by a PhD candidate at the University of Manitoba, Leanne Mack, Dr. John Walker, as well as Dr. Hebert Murphy from the University of Manitoba as well. And they used in-depth interviews as well as survey research to look at what information parents want to know about treatment for child anxiety disorders, how much information they want, as well as where they want to get the information from. And what they found, that parents want lots of information concerning help for their children's anxiety. Many parents wanted 10 pages or more of information. In terms of preferred sources, parents were very inclined to get information from service providers as well as on the internet. And parents mentioned many desired areas of information that they wanted to know about help for their children's anxiety. And so what we did is take these information areas that were generated by parents, and we evaluated these areas across websites. So there were 40 content areas that we took from this current study and analyzed them across websites that we looked at. So this brings us to the methodology of the present study. And first I'll talk about the selection of websites. So we first did a Google search using google.ca with the terms child anxiety disorders, and we excluded sites based on if they were duplicate sites. We obviously only looked at them once, as well as if they were hits for Amazon or Chapters Indigo. We didn't include them as they didn't contain any information that were for parents. So with our Google search, we ended up with 13 websites. And following that, members of our research team identified further sites that are known to specialists in the field of child anxiety. So this gave us a total number of 22 websites that we looked at. So in evaluating websites, we looked at the quality of website, we looked at the quality of information, as well as readability. So looking at the quality of website scales that we used the Ensuring Quality of Information for Patients scale, the EQIP, which is a 20-item scale that writers can answer the questions in terms of yes, it answers, the website answers the question fully, no if it does not, partly if it's somewhat answered, and non-applicable if the question isn't associated with a particular website. We also use the DISCERN scale, which was mentioned in the previous presentation. So the DISCERN is a 16-item scale, which uses a rating scale of 1 to 5. So results of our website analysis, our EQIP scores ranged from 47 to 85, and on the EQIP scale, the minimum possible score is 0, and the maximum possible score is 100, and we're seeing our mean at about 50.3. So this suggests a poor to moderate quality of websites in terms of the ones that we looked at. In terms of the DISCERN score, with the minimum possible score being 1 and the maximum possible score 5, we saw a mean of 3.1, which suggests a moderate quality of information with no serious shortcomings in the information. So now I'm looking at the quality of information. As I mentioned before, we took the content areas that were identified by parents and analyzed them across websites, and we rated them on a scale from 1 to 5, with 1 being no information was provided on the topic, to 3, there was adequate information, and then to 5, the website provided comprehensive information in that particular area. So here you see a slide that displays the content areas that were really emphasized by websites. So this included treatment choices, resources for parents, and these were both rated really high with means of 4 when the maximum is 5. So lots of information about these different things across websites. We also saw very high kind of adequate ratings for treatment methods, format of treatment, the success of treatment, as well as how the treatment works. So these were areas that were well addressed across the 22 websites that we looked at. So the next couple of slides display questions that were inadequately addressed by websites. And I should mention here, and we'll touch on this a bit later too, but it could be that the information to answer these questions is not available, and we need to find a way of finding the answers to this information and then presenting it in these websites. So we'll start first with the treatment category. So parent and child role in treatment were both answered poorly across websites with a mean score of 2. In these areas. And again, these are really important areas that parents want to know what their role is going to be in treatment and their child's as well. So looking at the effectiveness of treatment, parents had lots of questions about this area in terms of the goal of treatment, advantages and disadvantages of treatment, the length of treatment, length of time to produce results, different side effects that might come about as a result of treatment, the effectiveness of treatment across ages, so if they're looking at child versus adolescents, as well as what's going to happen when the treatment is terminated. So these were very important areas rated by parents, and as you can see, they range from 1.2 at the bottom all the way to 2.3. So they're answered very poorly across websites. And as you can see, the limited ranges between 1 to 3 indicate that no websites did a very good job at answering these questions. So So psychosocial treatment was another area that parents had questions in, and these questions were what the healthcare provider is going to be doing in treatment, what the child might be doing in treatment, the parent, as well as the transfer skills that might exist between the treatment session and other venues of the child's life. So these, again, we see a mean from 1.4 to 2.6, indicating that these questions weren't answered. So parents had lots of questions also concerning pharmacological treatment, and their questions centered around the different medications that are available to treat anxiety disorders, different safety effects that go along with this, such as side effects, common and uncommon side effects, advantages and disadvantages, and means in this area range from 1.1 at the bottom with how long medication has been used to treat anxiety, all the way to 2.8 with the different medications available. So this is an area, too, where improvement needs to be made in addressing these questions. So here we're seeing the specific information pertaining to treatment, and this information can vary by the different region or location that you're looking for treatment in. So so that's a possible reason why this area wasn't emphasized by websites or adequately addressed. And so what could be a future recommendation for different websites is just having different questions that can would be useful to parents in terms of they should ask about the cost of treatment to their doctor or the location and these types of things. But again, we're seeing means from 1.1 to 2.7 with limited ranges, indicating that these questions weren't adequately addressed. So the following slides look at the total information score across websites, and we derived this score by summing up all the different content area evaluations across the websites. So there were 40 content areas, each with a minimum of 1 and a maximum score of 5. So the maximum possible score for websites being 200 and the minimum score being 40. I should also mention that we had two raters rate the websites, both independently, and they arrived at a correlation of 0.93 at the p less than 0.01 level, so very high correlation among the different raters. So here we're seeing the results of high information, and our top three websites are Anxiety UK, Anxiety Disorders Association of America, and the Canadian Mental Health Association, and they have scores of 127, 120, and 105. Different websites that had a great quality of information were Mental Health America, Child Anxiety Network, the Anxiety Disorders Association of Canada, as well as the Northern County Psychiatric Association. It's also important to note here that when we did the Google.ca search in September, the first hit that came out was Child Anxiety Network. So if parents were just to go to that one hit, they are getting good information. So that's a really good thing. So the following sites showed a moderate amount of information, and this ranged from 69 with Keep Kids Healthy at the bottom, up to 89 with Canadian Family Physician. So these websites did an adequate job at answering questions that were indicated by parents as important. So here we're seeing slides. This slide displays sites that had a lower amount of information, and these sites range from 46 with the Canadian Psychiatric Association to 68 with the Centre of Knowledge on Healthy Child Development. And so it should also be noted that all of these websites have different focuses. So some of the professional organizations, like Canadian Psychiatric Association, they have different goals and a different audience that they might be addressing, such as researchers, practitioners, as well as students. So a different audience than different sites that are looking to address parents. All right. So in our content area, we also came across some biases and misinformation. Biases included that some websites only described one type of treatment, such as cognitive behavioral therapy or medication treatment, which makes sense if you're looking at a specific clinic. However, this doesn't give parents a chance to consider a balanced, balanced treatment options in order to make the most informed decision they can. We also found misinformation, and one example of this was combined treatment as the best practice approach to treating child anxiety disorders. And this is found to be mixed results in literature and might deter parents who aren't inclined to put their child on medication treatment, might kind of deter them from therapy at all, or from treatment at all. So looking at the quality of websites, we also looked at the readability scores, and we used just the Flesch-Kincaid grade level measurement on Microsoft Word and found a mean of 12.3. So this is a very high mean, and grade 8 is usually the recommended level for standard documents. So we realized that the grade 8 level is difficult to achieve in health information due to the terminologies of different treatments and medications. However, it is limiting for parents who haven't met the grade 12 level and might deter them from reading and understanding the information. So in conclusion, this is the first study that we know of that took the qualitative information on what parents want to know and addressed it through a website analysis. And we also found many questions that parents judged to be important weren't adequately addressed by most of the websites or by very few of the websites in our study. We saw a great variety of, in terms of quality and quantity of information presented by the websites in our study, which is a little bit concerning, seeing as many parents won't go to more than one website in their search. As previously mentioned, the most comprehensive websites in our study were Anxiety UK, Anxiety Disorders Association of America, as well as the Canadian Mental Health Association British Columbia Division. And as we've seen through all of the presentations so far, the internet has a great potential to support informed decision making for consumers. But there are improvements that we need to make in terms of addressing key questions that parents might have to facilitate the overwhelming experience of finding an effective treatment option. So we're taking this project in several future directions. And one of them, as mentioned, it's likely that websites don't answer many of parents' questions because the evidence to answer these questions is just not available. So what we're going to be working on is knowledge synthesis research to answer these questions and bridge information together in one place in order to fully address parents' questions. And we're wondering if we develop the information to answer these questions, will different website operators be receptive to having this information on their websites as well? So we're also working on applying a similar approach to identify information needs of individuals with anxiety, depression, as well as inflammatory bowel disease. And so we're looking at websites in these areas to evaluate the extent to which they meet the information needs of these individuals. So limitations of our study. One is we're currently working on getting an inter-rater reliability measurement on the EQUIP and DISCERN scores. Another is we haven't looked at too many international sites, which I think will provide really valuable information. We found that the Anxiety UK site was definitely different than most of our Canadian and U.S. sites and provided a lot of valuable information. So perhaps looking to Australia and other nations for their information would be quite valuable. We're also going to be working on adding additional languages to our research. And Canada is a bilingual country, and there's a large proportion of Francophones. It would be definitely valuable to look at websites that address child anxiety disorders in French in order to see what kind of information these individuals are getting. All right, so now I'll open it up if anyone has any questions or comments, and that would be wonderful. Yes? Oh. Thank you.
How likely is it that some parent who doesn't have a large amount of knowledge in this area is going to do a Google search and find one of these good sites as compared to simply finding something some person has just thrown out there?
Mm-hmm. Well, when I did the Google search in September, the top hit for this was the Child Anxiety Network. And so, as you saw from the total information score, they had a score of 95 out of a possible score of 200. So this was a good site and did address a lot of questions. Also, on the high quality of information slide, most of the websites there were on the Google search. So actually, Google had generated a lot of really valuable websites, but there still were ones that were missed. So we're hoping that maybe in answering these questions, we can link up with a website operator and see about making the information most available to parents in order to address their questions.
This is a very simple question, but is your study being published already?
No, it has not.
Is it available anywhere? Because I'd like to include some information in my thesis.
Oh, great. I can get you the slides, and we're currently working on writing it up, but
lovely.
Thank you.
If you could describe a little bit further your rating system, the ratings from 40 to 200, because I would wonder, what does a website look like that gets a rating of 200? And does that exist? Is that even desirable? Or is 100 excellent and all that one would aspire to achieve?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, the websites, we rated the content areas from 1 to 5, 1 being no information and 5 being comprehensive. So the 200 score would have meant that the website addressed every single content area comprehensively. So I think this would be desirable as long as that it was at a good reading level so that a lot of parents could understand it. The score of 40 would mean that none of the content areas were addressed. So this would be very undesirable. Does that answer your question? Or?
I'm sorry, could you please speak louder? The translation cannot be done.
Sorry, now I remember my question. Did this study also talk about how a parent or a person would actually read the information as a content? By how the website has been developed, how it looks, how its readability, how it's integrated. Is it a pedagogical methodology in terms of how it's developed? The visual look, I know that people that go to websites are visual creatures by nature, so they will look at content from how visually content is presented. So the scales, I wonder if that's factored in, because from a very pragmatic standpoint, outside of issues of content, is this a factor in the evaluation of that content?
Mm-hmm. You can probably answer this question better than I can, but I believe that the discern and the equip definitely does, but has questions about the layout of the information. Does the discern have that as well? I believe the discern does address that.
Mm-hmm. Le discern pourrait aider à identifier la qualité de contenu de manière générale et en particulier par rapport à une question donnée. Ça veut dire on pourrait évaluer un chapitre particulier d'un site ou une page particulière et évaluer si, avec le discern, si on répond à si la qualité est bonne ou pas, en sachant que le discern initialement a été beaucoup développé pour aider les gens à se déterminer par rapport à un traitement, par rapport au choix d'un traitement.
So the discern is mostly concerned with the different treatment options and readability and authorship and that type of thing. There is a question, the EQIP was developed for information on the internet, so there is a question in the EQIP that addresses the layout of the website in terms of, is the layout satisfactory for readers? What we can also include in our study, and we looked at this, is different interactive tools that are available to help parents answer questions. And so some of these interactive tools were type in your postal code or zip code, and it would generate a list of different therapists in your area and stuff like this, as well as cost and that type of thing, blogs. So that's something that we definitely should add in terms of. We could also look at this qualitatively and ask parents, what type of format in websites would you want to see?
The reason why I'm asking the question is that because parents are obviously concerned about their children, and anxiety is a prevalent issue, and in psychiatry, obviously, that anxiety is connected to depression and depression is connected to anxiety.
So the question is that when one enters a site, and the discussion of information is like, how do it correlates and mixes it together. Now, for instance, myself, I could maybe go to this site and determine whether information from one part of the site has any integration with the other part of the site. So I guess my ridiculously stupid question is, who is the person who is evaluating this to show to me and to the people that are parents of people with anxiety that it actually works? And is this site rated correctly, either by how it looks because it's happy, or by the look of or the content issue? So I don't know, maybe I went to art school for too long or something. Thanks.
My question is, like, you probably have thought about the question. If I put myself in the position of a patient, of a parent, mm-hmm. looking for an anxiety training treatment for a child, I can look at the websites, and you show that there are websites with different qualities. Mm-hmm. But what I'm actually more interested in, I want to know, are those websites also representative for the treatment which is delivered? So did you check if the websites reflect the reality of the treatment? You probably thought about it, because that's the crucial question. It's not only the site, but do you have plans to do that, for example, in the...
I'm not sure I understand your question correctly about reflecting the treatment. Could you repeat it? Sorry.
Well, my question is, you analyzed the websites, but as a parent, I'm actually interested in the reality of the treatment behind the websites. So is there a relation between the reality of the treatment programs and the quality of the websites?
So do you mean, is there a correlation between the information provided by the websites and the quality of the website?
No, of the treatment itself.
Of the treatment, so the effectiveness of treatment?
For example, they might tell me something on the website which is not true mm-hmm. in their treatment. So did you check that, or you discussed it definitely?
We definitely looked at misinformation that might have been provided, such as combination treatment as the best practice approach to child anxiety, and that being kind of a debatable issue in literature. Other than that, we just looked at, do the websites provide a balanced approach in terms of treatment choices? And that still is something that we need to work towards in websites to allow parents to make a complete choice between treatment options and the effectiveness of each treatment and provide research surrounding that. Does that answer your question? Somewhat? Okay.
If there's no more questions, thank you for joining us for this workshop, and have a good lunch.
And I would like to remind you to evaluate every speaker with the sheets that you have in your conference kits, please.